to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Our passage that will try to lay a foundation for the message this morning will come from verses 1 through 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 1 through 11. I would like to welcome everyone here this morning. I'm certainly glad that you're here. Both our members and our visitors this morning. I'll preface this message with this is one that I've thought about over the last couple of days. It's one that I've kind of struggled with in a sense. And so if you would bear with me, I'll try to make a few points. I'll try not to be too scatterbrained this morning. But I promise if you can hold with me till the end, we'll try to tie all this together. And I will preface it with that this is nothing that I'm pointing any fingers at. If there's any, I might even be pointing some back at myself. But I would truly like to challenge each and every one of us here this morning. This is not merely out of any other thought, but to challenge ourselves, to challenge us in our faith, to challenge us within our walk with God. For those of you who like to title lessons, this one could be titled Our Service to God. I'm not very a creative person, so it's not a very creative title. But I would like to talk about our service to God this morning. Going back to our passage that we mentioned earlier, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 will start in verse number 1. It says, "Now as to the times, brethren, you have not need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full and well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While they were saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness. That day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. You are not of the night nor of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep, do their sleeping at night, and for those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us to wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He who died for us, so that whether we are awake or are asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another up and build up one another, just as you are also doing." When we look at this passage that was written to the church there in Thessalonica, it was one that is because of Timothy's report that he gave to Paul. It was one that Paul addressed as things that Timothy brought up to him. And within this passage, there is a little bit of a misunderstanding about whenever Christ was going to come, the things that would happen thereof. And it was in response to what Timothy had reported to Paul. But within this, I'd like to take this passage and apply it to two points this morning. The first point being is, how are you justifying your service to God? And then the second point being is how can we find happiness in our service to God? As we look at that first point, it's one that's probably not on a very positive note, so I'd like to end this morning on a positive note. Going back to our first point, is how are you justifying your service to God? What does this service entail? This question I have, it comes from a conversation I had just the other day with a group of people. We were talking about not only our spiritual beliefs in general, but the point was brought up, and I don't mean to single this one out, but it surrounded alcohol. And we were talking about this as a group of people, and there was one comment that was made, and his comment was this. He says, "I don't feel a certain way about alcohol. I want to be able to invite somebody over into my garage or into my living room and have a beer with them so they see that there's nothing different about us as Christians." And really, that comment struck a chord within me because it made me think about how are you justifying your service to God? And I want to take the alcohol apart away from the conversation. I want you to fill in the blank with whatever that is, whether that's alcohol or things that we watch or things that we do within our life. It can be whatever that is that you want to fill in the blank with. I'm not singling out one thing this morning. But from his perspective, how was he justifying what he was doing? And that's truly what I want to get to this morning, is how are you justifying your service to God? And what does that service entail? Thinking back on this, if you were to just take any random day within your life, not one that you picked out on purpose, but if you made a list of the things that you did on that certain day, again, I'm not trying to insinuate that we should make a checklist within our life by any means, but if we were to make a list of activities that we did on a certain day, how many of those could we go back to and validate within Scripture that those were 100% in accordance with God's will? And again, I bring this up not to point any fingers because there are enough pointing at me, I promise. But you can just ask my wife that. I got one laugh. It was a success. Again, it's easy, so easy to become complacent as we walk this life here on earth. As we turn our attention back to this passage in 1 Thessalonians, we see that this contrast between the light and the dark. We know that there is a judgment that will come one day. And through passages that we will look at, we can see there's a separation between light and darkness. And as we look at these two things, when we think about the things that we do within our life, someone will say, well, there's a gray area in that matter. That's a personal preference. But from what I've read in Scripture, there's two ways. There is that of sin and that of righteousness. There is that of light and there's that of darkness. And those things that fall, there are truly nothing that can fall right in the middle. If we turn over to Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 16, as we try to develop this point just a little bit further this morning. Revelation 3 and verse 16, it says, "Because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth." The language that he uses here is very harsh. There's light and there's darkness. There are things that are of righteousness and there's things that are of sin. Again, I'm challenging you to fill in the blank for yourself this morning. Yeah. If we turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse number 17. When we talk about our service to God, how are we justifying our actions? Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse number 17. Says, "So I say this, and affirm together with the Lord, that you might walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, and being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of their ignorance that is often then because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you had heard Him and had been taught in Him just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you may be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you are to put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, that had been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." When we look at this verse, we talk about our service to God. How is it that we are justifying ourselves? We see here, back in verse number 22, that there is a way that we used to walk before we knew Christ. That we put off the old self, put on the new self. So whenever we are Christians, whenever we are true followers of God, are we bringing along those things that used to be with us before we were a Christian and continuing in those ways, or have we truly put off that old self and put on a new self to walk in the light that is not in the darkness? Are we different from the world? That's a very thought-provoking question we could ask ourselves. We see the things that are meaningful to those who are in the world. Are those same things meaningful to us as Christians? We would have to say no, they're not. In that same way, we know that we're supposed to be different from the world. We live in the world. We have to deal with those things, but we are supposed to be different from the world. We see that in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. If we turn over to Romans chapter 3 and verse number 24, we can make just a quick point on truly how we need to be justifying our actions, justifying our service to God. In Romans chapter 3 and verse number 24, it's a very well-known passage to each and every one of us today, but we can make it a different application. It says, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. This word, being justified, has a strong correlation of that of attaining righteousness, that if we have been washed of our sins, and that's only through the power of Christ's sacrifice. When we look at what we're doing within our life, are we looking at it from a perspective of we're serving Christ, we have attained that righteousness, or are we looking to justify ourselves by the way the world standards are? Are we justifying ourselves in the light of God's Word, or are we using some other standard by which we are trying to justify ourselves? I think so often we see ourselves justifying ourselves by the world standards or by what we want to do. We put ourselves above that which is what God laid out for us. We have to understand that it is only through the Word of God, and that should be our perspective on our justification and our service to God. So from here, I just like to leave that with you. You can fill in the blank with whatever that is that you want to this morning. But is whatever action you are doing, is that truly of service to God? And how is it that you are justifying yourself? You can fill in the blank with the alcohol or whatever it is that you do, the movies that you watch, the things that you scroll through on the internet, the way that we treat other people. There's many different applications. I'm not singling out just one this morning, but how is it that we are truly justifying ourselves and our service to God? Now, with all that being said, I want to turn to a more positive light and transition into how we can be happy in our service to God. And I promise if you'll can bear with me to the very end, we'll make a correlation between how it is that we're justified and how it is that we can be happy in our service to God. How easy is it for us to get caught up within our own life that sometimes we lose our perspective, we lose our joy, we lose our happiness? I know even for me in my youth, if I can say that, sometimes I struggle with this idea of embodying happiness and joy on a daily basis. If we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse number 10, we'll try to begin developing this point of this transition into finding happiness in our service to God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse number 10, it says, "For it is for this that we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is our Savior of all men, especially of believers. Prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech conduct love and faith and purity, and show yourself an example of those who believe." It's so easy for us to get caught up within our life. Are we truly embodying the hope that we have in God? The fact that Christ came down to earth to give that ultimate sacrifice for us. Have we lost that perspective in our service to God? I'd like to look at the attitude of an Old Testament passage. We turn back to Joshua chapter 24. I believe there are several things that we can gain from this passage and from Joshua, from his attitude, his perspective on life. Now, this is a rather lengthy passage, but I think there's so much that we can gain from it. But we'll start in Joshua chapter 24. We'll start in verse number 14. This is talking about Joshua, his stand for the faith, and the things that he did in service to God. Joshua chapter 24, starting in verse number 14. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you were living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The people answered and said, "Far from it that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God is He who brought us, our fathers, up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us through all the way which we went among the peoples through whom midst we passed. And the Lord drove from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We were also served the Lord, for He is our God." Then Joshua said to the people, "You will not be able to serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after He has done good to you." Then the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." Verse 22, Joshua said to the people, "You are a witness against yourselves that you have chosen for yourselves the Lord to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses. And now therefore put away the foreign gods which are in your midst, and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God, and we will obey His voice." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and made them for a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. He took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard the words of the Lord which He spoke to us. Thus it shall be for a witness against you, that you do not deny your God." Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to his inheritance. And there are so many takeaways that we could take away from this passage of Scripture. But what I'd like to focus on this morning is we see the Israelites were a people who during times wavered in their faith. We see that they would turn away from God and they would turn back to God, turning away from idols, turning back to God. And even during all these times, God was the one that was clearly in control and the one that was blessing them. Does this happen in the same way in our lives, where we see God's blessings in our lives, but somehow, some way, we turn back to look at what the world might give us instead of keeping our eyes and centered and focused upon Him? I think we also see here Joshua's attitude of his service to God. That no matter what they did chose, Joshua said that he would choose the Lord. Can we say the same today as we look at others around us that are running towards the fleshly desires of the world? That can we truly say that whatever the world might do, I'm going to choose to serve the Lord? For me and my household will serve the Lord. Or are the times that we just go along with them? These are just questions that we could ask ourselves. If we drop down just a few verses of verse number 31, we can see the impact that Joshua had upon them when he decided, when through his service to the Lord, the impact that he had upon Israel. Going back to chapter 24, verse 31 of Joshua, says, "Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, and had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for Israel." Think about the impact that Joshua had on them because of his commitments, his service to God. That they were people who served the Lord all the days of his life. Can we say the same about others around us? Are we trying to lead others to Christ? Are we trying to lead our household that all the days that we are here, that they will serve the Lord? If we turn over to Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse number 17, we can begin to see how we ought to conduct ourselves and try to start tying all this together. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse number 17. says, so every good tree bears good fruit, and the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. For every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will be known by their fruits. It's through our service to God that we will be able to see what type of fruit that we will bear. Are we truly bearing the fruits of righteousness within our life? We know that for ourselves, I do believe. It all comes back to our one of the things that's so important to us is keeping our mindset upon attaining heaven. We see that in Colossians chapter 3. That we put off the old self, put on the new self, that our eyes are fixed upon heaven and attaining that. We can see the happiness and also the joy that's produced through these things. If we look at one more example, the attitude of Paul. He has so many positive characteristics, so many things that we could apply within our life. If we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1. Looking at the attitude of Paul and looking at his attitude towards his service. How did he find happiness? How did he achieve happiness and joy in a service? It says in 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse number 1, it says, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. We're to look to Christ for our example. We see this attitude of Paul looking to Christ as his example, just as we are to that also. In Acts chapter 16, in verse number 25, we can see Paul's attitude exemplified for us through the challenges that he faced within his life. We see the persecutions that were thrown towards him. But what was his attitude in all of this? His attitude in his service to God. In Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 25, this was after he had been thrown into prison. And if we think about the prison system back then, you probably weren't getting three meals a day. You weren't getting to watch TV or go play basketball. It's probably an uncomfortable situation. There probably was not very much food. And just think about being in that situation. It'd be very hard to be happy. But what was Paul's attitude? You see that starting in verse number 25. It says, but at midnight Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so the foundation of the prison were shaken. We see in verse number 25 that even though through these hard times, where was his focus? His mindset was on his service to God. And that's how he was truly able to find happiness. If we turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 11 as we try to conclude this morning. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 11. I think there's a great deal of encouragement that we can gain from this. As Paul writes here, he says, Now that I speak from want, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I have. If we look at Paul's life, there are so many challenges or struggles that were that came towards him, but he was able to still find joy and happiness in some of the most miserable circumstances. How do we today deal with the trials that may come our way? Do we have our eyes fixed upon heaven? Are we able to find happiness and find joy in our service to God? Now here's a link between we talked about earlier about where is it that we justify our service to God? If we're truly justifying our service to God within the Word of God, if we're following His statutes, if we're justifying our service in that manner, then we can truly find happiness there because our hope and our eyes are fixed upon heaven. But if we justify ourselves by the world standards, then we will not be able to find happiness or joy in that service. So a couple questions I'll leave with you this morning. And again, I want to leave on a positive note that we can find happiness, we can find joy. What is it that your service looks like today? Something that we could all ask ourselves. Do we keep the right perspective on this? Do we keep that attitude of happiness? Do we keep the right mindset of that on heaven, on attaining that? I think that we can answer the question, can we find joy and happiness in our service to God? Yes, we can, but it has to be by us justifying ourselves through the sacrifice of Christ, keeping our mindset in that correct manner. If we have the wrong mindset, then we will never be able to truly find that happiness and joy that God wants us to all have. So with that this morning, I sure hope it has been an encouragement this morning. I appreciate the opportunity. But again, I hope that we can challenge ourselves so that we can become stronger. If there is anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel's call, it wasn't the most evangelical sermon this morning, but if there is anyone that would like to put on Christ to begin their service to God, we ask that you might do that, or if you have any other needs, that you might come forward as we stand, as we're led in the invitation song.